Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Clear Fight. Let me get this thing up. Why is my chair down? That's right, because I had new videos earlier today. Oh, how you guys doing? You're dealing with a slightly hungover Cappy. Cappy won't lie. This whole idea, I was not going to drink until I put up my headset in my house. That went right out the toilet. I won't lie. It sucks. Not the drinking. The drinking's great. I love drinking. Too much. So one of these days I will have to stop. You got a problem? Yes! That's the first step inevitably towards not drinking anymore. But I got back from California and Vegas and then all of a sudden the dark, gray, shitty weather of March falls in. And I caught up with everything. Finally caught up, did the taxes. I was in a great mood actually, by the way. And without even Like nothing bad happened. It's just kind of like the girlfriend gets back like, oh, well, what should we do? And what can we do? You live in a town for 20 years. I was talking to my buddy at my bar. And he's a very interesting fellow. A little older than me. Good looking guy. Always at the gym. See him there all the time too. But loaded. He makes a lot of money. Multiple tens of millions of dollars worth. And it's kind of the same thing we're talking. I'm like, how long have you been here? He says, I've been here my entire life. I'm like, don't you get sick of it? It's the same thing. I remember even going online one time to look and find a new bar. Not even a drink, just to find something new. And I said, doesn't it kind of get bored? You know, like, I've hit every bar. I went online. There's not a bar or a place I haven't been to, except for like maybe the downtown new up-and-coming yuppie scum type bars that are going to be out of business next year anyway. I said, what do you do? He's like, oh, I go to Miami. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, then I get tired of Miami. And so just this nothingness, this, oh, you could take a class. Yeah, I know. I already looked into it. I looked into taking online class, or not online. I went online community education. Nothing really interesting. Nothing that exciting. I refuse to pay the education system at a penny more than what I already have. I'm not going to go and take, I could probably ghost a class, I guess. But do I want to drive all the way down south into Minneapolis or St. Paul? And so just the slow but encroaching and unstoppable futility took over by 7 p.m. And it's just like, yeah, what do we do? Same freaking problem every day. What are we going to do tonight, Peaky? Same thing we do every night, Brain. Try and take over the world. But this time, try and find something different to do. I said, ah, screw it, there's nothing else to do but drink. Again, to quote Bill Burr, I drink because I'm bored. I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor you guys with my problem. I'm just explaining why the old captain hasn't been. I've been out for about 2 days. I did sleep a lot, though. That I did do. I slept a lot. I got a three-hour nap in yesterday. Then I went to bed at about 9? Maybe it was 10? Woke up again at around 11. Went for a walk. Didn't even have drinks over at my bar. Just walked into the bar, saw who was around. Then went home and then went right back to bed. Slept for 12 hours. Woke up, stayed in bed until like 2 in the afternoon. Listening to podcasts. That was nice. I have to admit this. Like, you're always producing, always producing. You never sit and relax and take it easy. So I watched Home Movies, which is a cartoon. If you haven't seen Home Movies, you guys see Home Movies. It's from 2000-2001. Produced by Brendan Small. Has this character called Coach McGurk, is played by the guy who does Archer's voice. Hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious show. So I watched that as if I was like a kid again watching Saturday morning cartoons, but it was Wednesday afternoon. Now you ain't got a problem, Aaron. No, you're just watching cartoons in the afternoon. Now I listened to podcasts, listened to the Russia Rulers History Pod. Never had time to like just sit and binge on that stuff, and I did. Learned a lot about Stalin. He's in the, I'm on the episode, was it episode 77? And the guy's got like 170 episodes. And if you, I mentioned this guy before, but I'm going to mention him again. Because if you want to learn about Russian history fast, this guy has done the best job ever of putting it in a easily digestible, listenable medium. And you can learn everything you want about Russia. So now I'm at the Stalinist purges, and God, what a bunch of assholes those communists were. Like, he delves into the personalities and the actions of the likes of Lenin and Stalin, And look, I know they were coming from... One thing I did learn about this is that communism was actually better than what they had. Until the Stalinist purges came along. But the serfdom under the Romanovs and all this other stuff... Oh, it was horrible. Absolutely, it was just a slave country. That's all it was. Russia was just a slave country. That's all it was. And so you could see where anything was better than that. And communism actually was better than that until there was, like, the killings and the purges. So these communists, I don't know where the communists get this idea. Like, what they don't realize is coming from this backward slavery serfdom type system. And basically there's a revolt, legitimized as well, I might say. I'm on the side of the serfs. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, coming from old captain here, me saying, yeah, communism would be better than what you got going on there now. Because that's just slavery. That's just evil and wrong. But they don't, the communists then don't realize, or they didn't care because they were power-hungry fucks, they didn't care that it was a solution to a system that was very bad. Like, it was an evolution, going from slavery, because of Russia's backwardness, going from slavery to, okay, now we're going to have kind of more of a meritocracy or a democracy here, even though you can never vote for anyone but the Soviets. So compared to that, yes, okay, communism was an advancement, an improvement upon this horrible system. But then they think, well, we got all the answers, and we're going to force the entire world to become communist. It's like, no, there was another experiment going on called the American experiment, where we advanced by leaps and bounds the advancement of humankind by saying, you know what? Not only are you free, we shouldn't have slavery. We're going to introduce free markets, so you're going to be allowed to keep the vast majority of your stuff. Until, as of recent, now we take 40% of your stuff, half, at 60% if you're rich. But these communists, they don't get it. They think, like, okay, now we're going to take this improvement upon slavery, this thing called communism, and it's the ideal. It's the perfect system. It's utopia. And we're not going to worry about other systems or parts of Europe or other countries' histories or cultures, and we're just going to say communism is the best. It's the ultimate goal. And meanwhile, empirically proven a million times over, it's like, nah, free markets and freedom is better than your little freaking forced sharing and theft. So I never knew why the communists, well, I know why, is because they're greedy fucks. But I never understood why they thought they had the right or where the logic or the reason was. Like, okay, you improved upon a slave system, a slave economy, which is good. Now, why do you think this second shittiest economic system that is only better than slavery and worse than all other economic systems, why do you think this one here is the best one? And they have no context. They don't know their history. So I was kind of surprised. I didn't know anything about the Bolshevik Revolution. I didn't know about the Romanovs. But this podcast, it teaches you a lot. And then I learned, like, okay, hey, you know what? I at least understand why communism came to the front, why it came into existence. And then it's also very clear why manipulators like Lenin, Stalin, Marx wasn't a manipulator, it's just a whiner, just an incomprehensible whiner, a faux intellectual, a pseudo intellectual, writing blather, someone who is going to try and read through it. Was it Ms. Loken that was going to read through Das Kapital? I said, don't do it, man. Just read the Communist Manifesto. Just read that. It's blathering. It's like, it's sad, but the two most influential people, economists, philosophers, in the world in the past 200, 300 years, Marx and Rand. And the writing is intolerable. You can't do it. You can't digest. Oh, I know. Ayn Rand. Okay, you like... What was it? What's the one that takes 18 years to read? Atlas Shrugged, that one. Who was telling me there's like a 14-page version of it? I'm like, hey, I'll read that. I'll do the Thug Notes version of Atlas Shrugged. Let's see if the Thug Notes... Has that guy got a video out there? Let's look up Thug Notes. On top of the Russia Rulers History Podcast, you guys should look up Thug Notes. If you don't know what it is, it's this black dude. I think he has his doctorate in literature. And obviously couldn't make any money. So what he does is he dresses like a gangster rapper and he does the Cliff Note versions of all these great American classics. So it's like The Great Gatsby and all that. I'm just happy he exists because then I never have to read books again. I was like, oh, is that what it was? Oh, good. 5 minutes. Now I understand Catcher in the Rye. Thank God I saved my time. Thug Notes. Atlas Shrugged. I wonder if he read this. Did he do it? Brave New World, Atlas Shrugged, in under 10 minutes. Was this Thug Notes? Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Flies, 1984, Girl Cut. He did all this, but he didn't do Thug Notes? Or he didn't do Atlas Shrugged? Wisecrack. Alright, this has got to. Is this him? Oh, come on, really? Anyway, well, if you look up Thug Notes, it doesn't look like he did one of Atlas Shrugged. But yeah, he's got all these. To Kill a Mockingbird, he did 50 Shades of Grey. Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth, he did it all. You guys got to check that out. It's pretty funny. So, anyway, how you guys doing? Ah, shit. Let's go and get the freaking news done. It's not really news, it's just I'm going to read here. The Fed caused 93% of the entire stock market's move since 2008, analysis says. The bull market just celebrated its 7th anniversary, but the gains in recent years, as well as its recent sputter, may be explained by just one thing, monetary policy. Factors behind that and previous bubbles can be illuminated using simple visual analysis of a chart. The S&P 500 doubled in value from November 2008 to October of 2014, coinciding with the Federal Reserve Bank's quantitative easing asset purchase program. After three rounds of quantitative easing, where the Federal Reserve poured billions of dollars into the bond market monthly, the Fed's balance sheet went from $2.1 trillion to $4.5 trillion, with a bunch of worthless paper. This isn't just a spurious correlation, according to the economist Brian Barnier, principal at Value Bridge Advisors and founder of FedDashboard.com. What's more, he says, previous bull runs in the market lasting several years can also be explained by single factors each time. Barnier first compiled data on the total value of publicly traded U.S. stocks since 1950. He then divided it by another economic factor, graphing the ratio for each one. If the chart showed horizontal lines stretching over long periods of time, that meant both the numerator, stock values, and the denominator, the other factor, were moving at the same rate. Okay, so basically what he's talking about is a P-E ratio or dividend yield. You got to compare what you pay to what you're going to get. Now, normally, in a sane market, in a sane economy, the thing that would drive stock prices would be earnings. So you'd expect that to be somewhat stable, which it hasn't been, even going back to 1871 with Robert Shiller's data. We know it goes up and down, but on average, it averages about 5%. So you could expect a 5% rate. That's the dividends. I'm sorry, dividends. PE historically has been 15, a ratio of $15 in stock price to $1 in earnings. The dividend yield has been 5%. So that'd be, a price to dividends of 20%. But it's gone up and down. But that's basically what this guy is doing. He's trying to find out what is driving the stock market. Because if this goes up and the stock prices go up and that ratio maintains roughly one or it's stable, then you know that, okay, this is likely driving up the stock prices. In this particular case, they're saying it's monetary policy. That's the beauty with visual analysis, he says. All we have to do is find a straight, stable lines and we know we've got something good. Scoring hundreds of different factors, Barnier ultimately whittled it down to just four. GDP data 5 years into the future, household and nonprofit liabilities, open paper market, and the Fed's assets. At different stretches of time, just one of these was the single biggest driver of the stock market and was confirmed with regression analyses. And he's got a nice little chart here. It shows you in the 50s and the 60s where it was GDP because that makes sense. Our economic growth would do that. And then in the 70s, mid-70s, it's debt, and then that goes all the way up to the 90s where we had the tech bubble from 93 to 2000, then debt again during the housing bubble, and now it's the Federal Reserve, which is government debt. He isolated each factor in a separate chart, calling them eras for the stock market. From after World War II until the mid-70s, future GDP outlook explained 90% of the stock market's move, according to statistical analysis by Barnier. Two, GDP lost its way in the market in the early 1970s with the rise of credit cards and consumer debt. Household liabilities grew with plastic first, followed by home mortgages, until the real estate crash of the early 90s. Barnier's analysis shows debt explained 95% of the entire market's move during this time. 3, the period between the mid to late 1990s until 2000 was, of course, marked by the tech bubble. While stocks took much of the headline, that time also saw heightened activity in the commercial paper market. Startups and young companies sought cash beyond their stratospheric share values to fund their operations. Bernier's regression analysis shows commercial paper increases could explain as much as 97% of the tech bubble. Shortly after the tech burst, the housing bubble began once more in the form of mortgages and debt. That drove 94% of the market's move for the first several years of the current century. 5, as the financial crisis reached a fevered pitch in 2008, the Federal Reserve took to flooding the financial markets with dollars to buy up shitty-ass bonds. That was editorial. Simultaneously, interest rates fell dramatically as bond yields move in the opposite direction of bond prices. Bernier sees the Fed as responsible for over 83% of the market from the start of quantitative easing until today. During the first half of 2013, the Fed caused the entire market's growth, he said. Since the Fed stopped buying bonds in late 2014, the S&P has been batted around in a 16% range and is more or less where it was when the quantitative easing came to close. Investors need to anticipate the next driver, Bernier said. Quantitative easing has stopped, but now we're into the interest rate world, he said. That means for an investor trying to figure out what to do, step one is starting with a macro strategy. Now, I know what they're analyzing or what this guy has proved is something that is common sense and didn't need to be proved, but it needed to be proven with numbers and economic research by a real economist so that we could confirm it for real, and we can basically point out that the stock market does not measure what it's supposed to. The stock market is not an efficient market. It measures government policy, it measures central banks, and it measures credit. This is where Austrian economists were infinitely more ahead of their counterpart Keynesian peers, because it's common sense. They've predicted it. It's simple. Of course, there's a psychological or an emotional backlash to letting the good times roll and let's just print off more money. But it doesn't change the simple fact that when you flood a market with money, the prices are going to go up. And this is important, not so much for the baby boomers, because they're making a mint. You guys with your 401ks and IRAs, you're making a mint with this government policy, just inflating away stock prices. But for you younger kids out there, for any future investor, I think the boomers will die off. I think this is not going to end. I think they need to keep the game up. But especially for anyone, regardless of your age, if you want to buy stocks, this is what I keep saying, stock prices just are not worth it. You're no longer looking at this as an investment, guys. You guys are looking at this as, well, prices keep going up. It's just capital gains. That's all it is. Where is the underlying value, the underlying driver, like it was back in the 50s and the 60s, which was GDP, which made sense? Economic growth would result in additional sales, which would result in increased profits. And thus, your stock has more value. Its earnings are going to go up. It's going to pay you like an investment should. There is a rate of return and not a capital gains. It generates a profit. It pays you a monthly or quarterly or annual dividend. Now, no one gives a shit. All these brilliant financial geniuses, quote unquote, on the Wall Street and then the government economists and all that, they don't even see this simple thing where it's like, yeah, it's just basically us flooding the market with debt. It's the Federal Reserve printing off more money. Well, the money's got to go somewhere. And you also, well, there's no inflation. There's no inflation. It's like, really? There's no inflation? What's the stock market going up doubling when dividends and earnings have not kept up? Dividends right now pay less than your freaking interest rates on your savings bond right now. That's how low it is. I think it's like 1.8%, maybe 2. And if you put it in that context, like, really? You're going to invest in something that will pay off? You'll finally get your money back after 50 years with a 2% rate of return? The stock market go up. The stock price is going to go up. And this also warps price. I mean, you need to have price discovery so you can say, okay, is this a viable investment? Should I be going and investing in this? Not when prices like this are whacked and they're no longer measuring profits or dividends. We're still, you got this huge incentive to leverage up to the hilt. With interest rates down, what? Now we're going to do negative interest rates? So whoever's really close to the Federal Reserve, their best borrowers, they're paid to take money. And what do you think is going to happen with that money? Right now, you got your corporations doing the largest buybacks they have, I think, in ever. I mean, in nominal dollars, certainly. What do you think that does to stock prices? Think it keeps it nice and low for potential future investors? What angers me about this is not the overinflated prices or anything like that, but the market no longer measures excellence or what it's supposed to. It no longer measures productivity. It's pointless to look at the S&P 500 and say, okay, how's the economy doing? Or how is the stock market doing? It's nothing more than a number, a metric of how much debt has flooded the market. How many new U.S. dollars have been printed off? And without accurate financial pricing, you're going to have a hard time getting a positive rate of return or making wise investments. And then what is it? This also means the only way we could keep the economy growing, which you're not, by the way, economic growth has like just gone down to a trickle, is it is established now by the Ivy League idiots, by the authorities, by these Keynesian geniuses. We're just going to keep printing off more money. We're just going to have negative interest rates. We're going to have low interest rates. We're going to borrow and spend and borrow and spend. And that is what I don't even think the economy is reacting. It's just the stock market because it has to. If you're going to flood the market with that much money and keep interest rates that low, well, yeah, that's where the money's going to end up. Whether you like it or not, as long as corporations keep buying back stocks and people keep investing in their 401ks, the stock price is going to keep going up. But it has nothing to do with earnings, productivity, economic growth, strength in U.S. economy. None of it. It's just a bubble. It's just a big inflated Keynesian bubble. I just like the fact that 93% of it determined by the Fed. Holy shit. 97 back in what? Yeah, the dot-com days. That was crazy. That much you knew. But not since those evil 50s and 60s, ladies and gentlemen, has GDP actually been a determinant. You can actually see it like as the 70s, which sucked, started coming in and the economic growth collapsed. You could see GDP or you could see the stock market actually go down as it should. But no, debt. That's all we got. More debt. Oh, well, let's do some sponsors here real quick. That was your economic lesson of the day. Chad Elkins, get Chad Elkins' Comprehensive Tax Guide for 2016. You can find that at Amazon.com. Also, go to my site, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com, and click on Chad's banner if you are looking for an accountant. Better hurry up. Taxes, what? You got 29 days before you got to get your taxes done. Chad can do taxes for you. Vox Day, he has two books out there, Conservatives and Social Justice Warriors Always Lie. You could go to his site, voxday.blogspot.com, or you could go online, go to Amazon, just look up those books directly there. We got my Cafe Press site, of which I made a whopping $2.87. I made big money. Oh, yeah. You guys are buying tons of coffee mugs and bumper stickers. So that is going to secure my retirement. Thank you very much for the whopping sales we had there. But if you want, please go to my Cafe Press site. You can just go to captaincapitalism.blogspot.com and click on the little green banner there. If you would like to advertise on the show and the podcast and the YouTube and all that other stuff, let me know. It's $100 a month. And we'll sell your stuff as long as it isn't stupid. I mean, and I've had some stupid-ass shit come across my table. But if you'd like to get a little bit of advertising out there, contact me through my blog and send me an email. If you'd also like to have the podcast archive, you'll notice that SoundCloud, we have, what are we at? Episode 139. But we start at 100. You say, well, what happened to the first 100 episodes? Where'd they go? They've been archived because the previous host I had did not have unlimited storage. And so if you want that, it's going to cost you $30. And then you get not even 99 episodes. I won't lie to you. You get like 75 because I lost the first 25. But some people do want that. So you can get the old Cappy archive. I'll send you an MP3 thumb drive. And so you could go ahead and listen to that. And I give you a couple hundred hours of listening pleasure, I imagine. Then we have other podcasts. If you hate my guts, you don't want to listen to me, well, thank God for freedom in the market and choice and selection and diversity. You have 405media.com. You got Bernard Chapin's maildefender.com. Silvio Cantos, he's got his podcast over at Blog Talk Radio. Just look up Canto Talk, C-A-N-T-O. Free Domain Radio and by Stefan Molyneux. We also have you, I insist, you geek out with The Beckloff. You can go to YouTube and search The Beckloff, B-E-C-H-T-L-O-F-F. We got my good friends, DT and the Man, over at blackbrigade.org. They have the Black Brigade Debrief weekly. Financial Survival Network, FSN News. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Visit my good buddy, Kerry Lutz. Crush the Street, that's another YouTube one. And then Engineered Truth, good old, I got to type that in there. I had an interview with Matt. He runs Engineered Truth. And that is a, I don't know if you've been there, but definitely for you younger boys and girls who are in college or looking at careers, especially in IT and STEM. He's a former engineer, and now he just does YouTube full-time, much to his parents' chagrin. Like, no, you don't understand. I make more money doing it this way. Who else? Oh, Glorious Carl. Go to glorioushat.com. Get one of Glorious Carl's hats. It's cold out there. He was going to send me some more inserts and placards for the hat, so I'll have to get a picture of that. Up just in time for the 2016 election. Then also, my two little side business gigs there as well. We have assholeconsulting.com. If you got a question, you want the old captain to answer it in his inimitable fashion, go to assholeconsulting.com. Doesn't have to be public. It can be a private affair. We just email each other. And then also Amazon, my Amazon affiliate. If you do any of your online shopping, please do it through my site. Go to captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon banner that is in the top right area. Kind of below, I think, Curse of the High IQ. It's up there somewhere. Just look for the Amazon banner. And, yeah, just do all your online shopping there. Make sure your ad blockers are off. And then I get a little 6% cut, 7% cut. And then I don't have to work a real job ever again. Do the Philippines by Matt Forney. Go to mattforney.com. He's got more than just that book, Do the Philippines. But that is the most recent one he has written and the one he's plugging. But also don't forget Confessions of an Online Hustler, which I think is a very practical book for many people. Men and women, if you want to start an online business or presence. So don't forget his other books as well. Andrew Henderson over at nomadcapitalist.com. He has a book called The Best Offshore Banks. You can see the ad on my blog there. Click on that so he knows where you came from. He says, oh, look, Cappy sold these books for me. Thank you. And then also The Analysis Evaluation of Stocks and the other class, Stocks, Bonds, Investing, Oh My. These are the two classes that I offer online. One is obviously about the analysis and valuation of stocks. And the second one is an introductory to personal financial management class called Stocks, Bonds, Investing, Oh My. Go ahead and take those classes. All I ask that you do is be polite, be civil. It's predominantly older people that take this, like your grandma. So no cursing, no politics, no BS. Let's be on our best behavior for those kids, those old people there.
Now listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news?
The news. Oh, do I love the news. This particular tidbit of news. From CNBC, we choose the nominee, not the voters, senior GOP official. Now, I can understand where they would take this out of context and run with it. So you could see what they're aiming for here with Trump, just trumping everybody. But let's read through it anyway, shall we? Political parties, not voters, choose their presidential nominees. A Republican convention rules member told CNBC a day after GOP frontrunner Donald Trump rolled up more primary victories. The media has created the perception that the voters choose the nomination. That's the conflict here. Curley Hogland, an unbound GOP delegate from North Dakota, told CNBC's Squawk Box on Wednesday. He even questioned why primaries and caucuses are held. Well, see, I don't know that. I know how the media works. Did he really say that? Did he? Because I really don't know anymore. But I can see where, yes, it is true. He is an unbound delegate, so he does not have to vote the way that the people do. But again, this is CNBC probably taking this and spinning it a certain way, making Hogland look like an evil guy who's not going to listen to the voice of the voters, whereas Hogland is simply saying, hey, by the rules, we don't have to. Hogland is one of 112 Republican delegates who are not required to cast their support for any one candidate because their states and territories don't hold primaries or caucuses. Even with Trump's huge projected delegate haul in four state primaries Tuesday, The odds are increasing that the billionaire businessman may not ultimately get the one... Wait. Odds are increasing the billionaire businessman may not ultimately get the 1,237 delegates needed to claim the GOP nomination before the convention. Well, how... Is that a poorly written sentence? Even with the odds are increasing... Well, how so? This could lead to a brokered convention in which unbound delegates like Hoglund would play or could play a significant role in the first ballot to choose a nominee. Most delegates bound by their state primary or caucus results are only committed on the first ballot. If subsequent ballots are needed, virtually all of the delegates can vote any way they want, said Gary Emeneth, another unbound delegate from North Dakota. It could introduce Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, or it could be the other candidates that have already been in the race and are now out of the race, such as Mike Huckabee or Rick Santorum. All those people could eventually become candidates on the floor, Emeneth said. House Speaker Paul Ryan, oh, preppy boy, who decided not to run for the White House this year, said in a CNBC interview Tuesday he won't categorically rule out accepting the GOP nomination if a deadlock convention were to turn to him. Look at the arrogance of this guy. This, but you're not even running. You think, well, if you force me to become president, okay. But on Wednesday, a Ryan spokeswoman said the speaker would not accept the Republican nomination for president at a divided convention. Democrats experienced the last true brokered presidential convention to go beyond the first ballot in 1952. Republicans came close at their 1976 convention. The rules haven't kept up, Hoglund said. The rules are still designed to have a political party choose its nominee at a convention. That's just the way it is. I can't help it. Don't hate me because I love the rules. Well, he's being honest. These are the rules. Hoglund said he sent a letter to each campaign alerting them to a rule change he's proposing, which would allow any candidate who earns at least one delegate during the nomination process to submit his or her name to be nominated at the summer's convention. If the GOP race continues at the same pace, Trump would likely have a plurality of delegates. So far, he's more than halfway to the 1,237 magic number. Trump split Tuesday's winner-take-all primaries in Florida and in Ohio. The real estate mogul dominated in Florida over Senator Marco Rubio, who dropped out of the race after losing his home state. Wow, that's right. Yeah, he's from down there. But Trump lost Ohio to the state's governor, John Kasich. Trump also won Illinois in North Carolina. He held a slim lead over Texas Senator Ted Cruz in Missouri early Wednesday. Eminence, blah, 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 blah. Okay, look. I would love nothing more to see the Republicans snub Trump. I would love nothing more than to see it. Because here's how I'm voting, and here's why I even pay attention to I'm even talking politics. Because this is fun as all hell. This is entertaining as shit. To see a maverick really put you connected establishment blue bloods on the ropes like this, and that you're not going to make Trump the nominee, would, you know, continue the primary and the caucus process. But if Trump gets these delegates and he wins, and you don't make Trump the delegate or the nominee, you snub the Republican Party is over. It's already over as it's old, corrupt, nepotistic, cronyistic, inside the beltway. Dennis Prager, Sean Hannity, Michael Medved connected little groupie group going on there. It's always that's going to be done because of the new guy coming in. And no, people are, if you don't take Trump, if you don't heed the voice of the voters and the demands of the people, no one will show up for at least the next two presidential elections. I think the Republicans would cease to exist. Oh, there'd be a party, but I'm not. Why the hell would I go? Why would anyone go vote? Why would anyone support you if you're not going to run the candidates they want? And this presumably coming from the capitalist political party. Like, you know, free market economics. You know that this, the demand of the consumers, the demands of the people. I understand why you may not like Trump because he's not your boy. But I don't see him like jacking. I could be wrong. You know, we'll find out when he gets there. But a billionaire real estate mogul, that's better than a professional politician like Cruz or anything that has come from the Democrats, like leftist socialist, veritable socialist. Is it just his personality runs you the wrong way? Is that it? You're afraid he's going to be, you know, like a Trojan horse? I think with Trump, like, the biggest worry you guys have right now is like, oh my God, he's just going to jack up taxes and, he, you know, he's not going to control spending. He's just in it for himself. Yeah, don't you think, like, he knows the free market a little bit enough to say, like, I got to provide this? Like, whatever his true original intentions may be, the fact he's so popular and he's got this thing more or less clinched that he's like, wow, maybe I should be an actual Republican. Maybe I should lower taxes. He came up with a tax plan that was simplified, pretty straightforward. Eliminated an entire tax bracket. I think, what was it, under $50,000 you don't pay? It wouldn't be too bad. We won't know until he actually becomes president and see how he governs. But I'm trying. Why Ted Cruz? Why is he such the big thing? That guy, I did a Clary test on him, and he scored a 4. He's just as bad as Obama. The guy's never worked in the private sector, majored in a stupid subject, has always been in politics, and currently is in politics. He hasn't worked in the private sector. I mean, if we're gonna go based on actions, Trump has a lot more. He does much better on the Clary score. Now, he inherited a lot of money, so he gets a point there. I don't know what he majored in, but he obviously has worked in the real world. He has obviously worked in the private sector, and he currently still does. So, I mean, go ahead, Republicans. It'll give me something to watch on the news. It'll give me something to watch, and it will be a very interesting, entertaining show. I to hear and then to watch the GOP sink, like just to have the Democrats take over. And you will. If you don't have Trump, not only are the Republicans not going to show up to vote for president, they're not going to show up to vote at all. That will be the death knell. The Democrats would take over both houses. They'd take over states, governorships, state legislatures, local. You take out Donald Trump from this, the 2016 election, you might as well not even be fielding candidates. You might as well just throw it, you know, here, socialists take over. You know, that it's over. And I don't think you're ever going to get anyone to get incentivized or prompted to vote again for a Republican Party. A new party will show up. That will happen. But yeah, go ahead. I dare you. Double dog, triple dog with sprinkles on top, dare you not to nominate Trump. Go ahead, GOP. Go ahead. Do it. See what happens. Because until you have, like, it's too late now. I don't know who you guys would run. Paul Ryan? No. Ben Carson? Boy, I wish Trump would just make Ben Carson his VP pick. It'd be over. It'd just be over for all you. For all you rhinos, it'd be over. I know he could be a rhino himself. I know. But man, that would make a great ticket. All right, let's get the remaining sponsors in here. Pushing Rubber Downhill by Adam Piggott. He's got a podcast, or not a podcast, he's got a blog out there now. So you guys might want to go and check that out. I think it's pushingrubberdownhill.blogspot.com, or just search, you'll find both the book and his website. Then we have The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty, my book. All these are available in Kindle and paperback. And we will be having Bachelor Pad Economics. That will be coming out in audio quite soon here as well, having a young man work on normalizing the audio so it's consistent. Worthless, that's in all three formats right now, paperback, Kindle, and audio. So you can go to Amazon.com. It should have all three variants. Enjoy the Decline, Accepting and Living with the Death of the United States. Whatever, I only wrote the book. I don't know what it is. Behind the Housing Crash, that's my first book written many years ago. There's also Captain Capitalism Top Shelf and Captain Capitalism Reserved, the two best of compilations or compendiums of my blog's work. You can go ahead and get that stuff. Day by Day Cartoon by Chris Muir. Go ahead and check that out on the interwebs. Silvio Canto's book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. Davis Arini's books, As I Walk These Broken Roads. Hopefully he's coming out with another one here pretty soon. I hope he's writing. Marty Andrade's Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse. And then Rollo Tomasi, the Rational Male. Go ahead and buy some whiskey through him. Tap Whiskey, TAPWISKY, tapwhiskey.com. Go ahead and buy some of this stuff there. I'm sure if you're a good whiskey drinker, you would like it. And that's it. Look at that. Ann Sternzinger. I forgot to mention Ann. Where we got to put her? Let's put her down here and stir Zinger. Is it AnnStirzinger.com? What is it? What's her blog? Come on, Cappy. Got linked on the blog. Yeah, AnnStirzinger.com. So you can go ahead and read her book. She's got several for sale. She's redoing them for some reason. I don't know why. good old Ann. Oh, protagonist all the way. And what else am I missing? Was there another one? Save? No, we did. Yeah, we did Engineered Truth. I think we got everybody there, guys. I think we did good.
Now listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news?
Well, here's another one for you nice leftist socialists out there who don't know jack about economics. Venezuela to shut down for a week amid electricity crisis. Venezuela is shutting down for a week as the government struggles with a deepening electricity crisis. President Nicolas Maduro gave everyone an extra 3 days off of work next week, extending the two-day Easter holiday, according to a statement in the official gazette published late Tuesday. Maduro had originally said over the weekend that the extended holiday would only apply to state employees. The government has rationed electricity and water supplies across the country for months and urged citizens to avoid waste as Venezuela endures a prolonged drought that has slashed output at hydroelectric dams. The ruling socialist, didn't California, another socialist country, have a problem like this? The ruling socialists have blamed the shortage on El Nino weather phenomena and sabotage by their political... Of course, guys, it's there because you're incompetent socialist fucks. It's always somebody else. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that none of you have any real-world working experience. It's not that any of you have engineers. It's not that any of you ever hailed from a place where you had to produce and you had to be self-supporting. It's because it's Bush. It's sabotage. We're hoping, God willing, rains will come, Maduro said in a national address Saturday. Look, the saving is more than 40% when these measures are taken. We're reaching a difficult place that we're trying to manage. How about if we invaded Venezuela while they're down? I think that would be... How good can they possibly be? I mean, if their electricity is out, I mean, what, you know... Couldn't we just send over, you know, 10,000 troops, take it over? Really, I mean, I want to know, about 10,000. I mean, if you're that inept, you can't keep the lights on. We're hoping, God willing, rains come. Calling an extended holiday isn't a new innovation in Venezuela's fight against power outages. In 2010, then-President Hugo Chavez issued a similar decree, adding 3 days to Easter week holiday. Stained grid. Venezuela has long suffered rolling blackouts that cripple public services and leave citizens in the dark for days at a time. The extended break seeks to further erase demand on Venezuela's strained power grid and follows a forced reduction of hours at shopping malls and public institutions. What do you buy in Venezuela? What, aren't they out of everything? During the Holy Week, Venezuelans nationally abandoned the cities, opting for a holiday on the shores of the Caribbean or in the Andean countryside. According to the decree, essential services would continue as normal, and banks and tax collection agencies could adjust the hours accordingly. Last week, the energy minister warned that water levels at the Guri Dam, one of the country's principal sources of power, had reached critical levels. On Wednesday, however, he insisted the Venezuela's grid was not on the verge of collapse, but implored the private sector to heed the president's call. They can indirectly abide by the decree. It's a matter of cooperating, electricity minister Luis Mota Dominguez said in an interview broadcast on the Venevision network. Okay, I don't care. I don't care. You guys vote this in. You guys did this to yourself. I don't know where the logic comes from that you think you can just lie around and get free shit and then all of a sudden the electricity doesn't work. I don't know how you can't make that connection. Really? Do you guys not get it? You actually believe this socialism stuff, huh? You actually think it's going to work out for you? And then the convenient excuse, oh, yes, it's George Bush. Oh, it's saboteurs. Yeah, okay, all right, whatever. What? It's not my life. It's not my life. It's your life. You get to do that. I know we may vote our own socialist in here, but thank God we're in the United States and we can have ourselves a world reserve currency and basically give the proverbial finger to all the countries in the world. It's a piece of me that kind of like, I realized I'm not going to make it another 30 years. And if I just have to make it another 30, I think I can. And I don't think we're going to have a collapse. I don't think it'll be that inconvenient. In other words, I think the lights will still be on by the time I'm dead. And there really won't be a collapse. There'll be a decay. There'll be a slowing of progression. There'll be an inevitable slow but sure corruption. But I don't think we're going to have rolling blackouts. I don't think there's going to be, you know, riots in the street. There might be. There may be. I don't know. But I'm just going to sit and smile and say, yep, we lived off of the rest of the world with our Federal Reserve and our world reserve currency. You Venezuelans voting in your socialist shithole, we got to see it collapse in front of you, and then you're going to blame the boogeyman or the weather or whatever. Just like Californians blame, you know, global warming for the lack of them building new dams to have enough water to irrigate. But it puts a smile on my face. I'm happy to see you Venezuelans suffer. Not the innocent ones. I know there are good Venezuelans out there, and those of you who are trying to escape or you're trying to fight. But the ones who swallowed the leftist socialist bullshit whole, and now you're getting your comeuppance, but you're too stupid to acknowledge. You're too proud to say, well, it's because we have bad government. Socialism doesn't work. No. I like it that your electricity is off. I like it that your financial institution, not your financialist, your government institutions can't even support themselves. Oh, I like it that there's no toilet paper. I like your shortages. I love it because it's just reality judging you. That's all it is. I don't know. What are the theories over in Venezuela? What other conspiratorial theories? Is it white people? Is it the United States? Is it George Bush, even though he hasn't been president for a while? What do you blame now when Obama's in charge? What do you do? Anyway, well, that's it. That's it for the podcast. Remember, vote up the podcast. Go online. Tell people about the podcast, the blog, everything else. Check your nuts. Also get your ass cancer checked. Make sure, boys, that if your girlfriend is not going to fidget with your nuts, you do. What else have we, guys? Is that it? I think that's it. Best of luck to you guys all. Toodles.